It is 93.3 WMMR in our great city of Philadelphia. I'm guilty of being Jackie Bam Bam, and we have a very, very special guest on the phone with us tonight. He's been handed the torch to continue the Dio legacy with The Last in Line, shares the name with the great 1984 album Last in Line. We have the amazing drummer, and I hope I'm saying his name right. I'm going to pause here after I say his first name, Vinny Appice.
You got it.
I knocked it out of the park, Vin. How are you, man?
I'm good, Jackie. How you doing, man?
Great.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, last time we spoke, you were a special guest with your crazy brother on my annual Santa Tracker show. But your brother lives in New York, and you moved out to L.A., but you still have that New York attitude, correct?
Oh, yeah. Can't lose that stuff, you know. Actually, Carmine was out here, but now he's back in New York.
I'm surprised he's back there, and he's not on the other line calling me going, yo, my brother's going to call you tonight, Jackie.
You better watch it. He might be listening.
Oh, no. So, Vin, you're going to be in our area a couple times this weekend. You're going to be down in Atlantic City. You're going to be a very, very special guest, and I think this is so cool, at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you'll be down at the Showboat in Atlantic City?
Yeah. I'll be there doing autograph pictures, you know, doing what everybody does at those conventions. And the horror ones are just fantastic. They're so cool. It's just crazy stuff there.
So basically, you'll be sitting behind a table and twirling your sticks, right? Without a drum kit.
Exactly. But it's a fun time. It really is. And there's a lot of stars from all the old movies, the horror movies and TV shows. And there's a lot of people going to be there. I have a great time there. Like my fifth one of these, and just a lot of fun, you know. And you get to meet and talk with the fans, where you can't really do that too much at our shows, you know, because of the craziness that goes on with the shows, and there's no time, and everything's rushed.
Get your tickets at New Jersey Horicon, all one word, .com. And again, you'll be there all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. High rolling in Atlantic City, then.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guests on this New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival in Atlantic City to Showboat. Who are you looking forward to meeting the most?
I'm looking forward to meeting Eddie Monster from the Monsters.
That's right. He's going to be there, too. Fozzie's going to be there.
The last horror convention I did, I met Freddy Krueger. I met Elvira. I met the policeman from Terminator. All these cool people. The Bionic Woman, Lindsay Wagner.
Yeah.
Jones. All these people. I go walk around and, you know, get introduced to them. And my other big hero, will Leave It to Beaver. And the first one I did, they were there, and I got to meet them. They took me up to the room, and I got private pictures with them. It was really cool. Then I saw Jerry Mathers as another one, and came a little bit more friendly, you know, with him and his wife. It's so cool. These are like childhood heroes.
How many of these have you done before?
This is like a fourth or fifth one. In different places. They're not all in the same place, obviously. It's really a cool thing, you know, and these people come in and get autographs from everybody, and pictures, and it's. I didn't know this existed, but it's a fantastic thing. So this one's going to be great. A lot of stars down there.
Vinny Appice in Atlantic City this weekend.
Yeah. I think that was the last gig we played with Heaven and Hell. So the last gig I played with Ronnie was in Atlantic City.
I wanted to mention that, too. Hailstorm always talks about that because they supported that show. And Vinny, speaking of first times, the first song you ever played with Ronnie James Dio was Neon Nights. And the last song you played at that Atlantic City show at the now defunct House of Blues was Neon Nights.
Neon Nights was the first song I ever played with Ronnie when I went down 1980 to play with the band.
Yeah.
And I heard it on the radio. I said, well, let's play Neon Nights. I knew the tempo, and I didn't know the song that well, but fair enough, it was pretty simple. So that was the first song, and then it was the last song. 30-some years later, it was really weird.
That is so weird, man. You guys got a brand new album out, Last in Line. It's your second album, and it's simply titled 2. Tell us who's in the band, besides you and Vin. Yeah, yourself and Vivian Campbell, two former band members.
We were together with Ronnie in the beginning with Holy Diver and Last of Mine albums and Sacred Heart. And Phil Soussan, who played with Ozzy, and Billy Idol, he's on bass. And our singer is Andy Freeman. He sang in the show in Vegas called The Rock Fall, and he played a little bit with Offspring, and he's just a monster singer.
Phil Soussan took over after the late, great Jimmy Bain, and you guys were out on that Def Leppard cruise, and all of a sudden, Jimmy Bain passed away. That was just scary. You were sitting in a bar and a girl came down and cried to you or something. How did all that go down?
Yeah, it was it was weird because Jimmy, we rehearsed four times before the cruise, and Jimmy was kind of ill, you know. He was kind of rehearsing, sitting down, and he's been, you know, always managed to pull through whatever happened to Jimmy. God bless him.
Yeah.
And so we went all the way down to Florida. He made it down to Florida, and then we did one show before the cruise on land. I was actually at a casino, and he played that. He sang, but you could tell he was really tired and kind of beat a little bit. So we said, then we got on the ship, and we didn't have to play till Sunday, so we just told Jimmy, you know, relax in the room, get some rest, whatever you need. We have a butler and bring you food, coffee, whatever you want. And so he stayed in his room the whole time. And then just before Def Leppard was going on the cruise, they were the headliners, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the bar hanging out, and some girl comes down crying really bad. And for some reason, I knew what it was already. She goes, Jimmy, and I knew then that's it. This is the day. And Jimmy's really bad. I think he's dead. And so what?
Yeah.
Ran up to the room. And
you went up to the room?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to see what's going on.
Okay, I thought they would have taken the body away or something like that, but you went right up to the room.
Well, we didn't know what happened. We didn't know if he was unconscious. Mm-hmm. We didn't know if he was, you know, passed away. So I had to run up there and see what was going on. There was some people from the ship there.
Yeah.
And I went in and I saw him, and they already had a doctor, I think, and he's gone, you know.
Oh.
So I saw him, and then I checked the room out, make sure everything was all right. And then from there, I had to go down and tell Vivian, you know, who's just going to go on.
Ugh.
And the rest of the band, you know, Def Leppard. It's quite an evening, you know. It was a real crazy thing. And at the same time, at that point, Joel Elliott had a voice problem, really couldn't sing that much. So our singer, Andy, went up and did 5 or 6 songs with them. So it was the weirdest cruise, you know. And then we were scheduled to play on Sunday. We thought, what are we going to do? Now what happened? So we didn't tell anybody on the ship what happened. This was Saturday night, so the next day we were scheduled to play. So we put together videos and a whole bunch of stuff with Eddie Trunk. He came out on Sunday, you know, the showtime. He was going to introduce the band, but he just explained to everybody what happened. Everybody was, like, shocked.
Yeah.
And then Viv and I and Andy came out. We sat on stools. We had Jimmy's bass on one side, Viv's guitar on the other.
Oh.
And we told stories and stuff about him. And we had videos and we had pictures going at the same time. And everybody stayed. It was like 2,000 people there. And it was really an amazing tribute to Jimmy. Then later that night, we just jammed with, who was that that played bass from Cinderella?
Eric Brittingham?
Eric, yeah. He was great. He learned all these, like, 5 songs really quick.
Oh, that's great.
We went and played by the pool. It wasn't even our gear. We just hopped on some gear, and we did 5 or 6 songs, you know, for everybody.
Oh.
And dedicated to Jimmy. That was quite the cruise from hell.
I'm sure Jimmy's smiling down upon what you guys did now. Released a brand new album, follow-up to Heavy Crown. Took you, what, 3 years, I'd say, in the making. And Jeff Pilson from Donkin and Farner produced this, your number 2 album?
Yeah, he produced the first album, and then we co-produced the second album with us. It was just a good team, and you get some great sounds, great ideas. We're really proud of this album. Yeah, this album took about 2 years in the making because of scheduling and all that.
Did you do it out in L.A., or did you do it like you do with your brother on The Sinister? You're flying tracks all around with Pro Tools?
No, we're a real band, so we go in, we write together, we play together, and when we go in to record, we actually record together.
That's great.
You know, all the way through. We don't fiddle with it on the computer at all. We do it old school. No click, none of that.
That is great, great.
Got the real soul in it.
Vinny, how do you feel about your clock, your meter?
I'm right in there. I learned a long time ago how important the steadiness is, you know, because I hung out a lot at Record Plant Studios in New York.
Yes, and I did want to talk about that.
You know, I could play well back then. I was 16 years old. I was pretty damn good at 16, but when I went in the studio, I noticed, and so did the engineer, I'm speeding up a little bit. Got introduced to the metronome.
I hate that word and them things. I'm a drummer myself, and I get so damn excited, and you playing festivals and all. I'm like, don't you feel like, you know, Ronnie out there or somebody very exciting, you like push it a little bit?
Oh, yeah, you feel it. You know, it doesn't have to be on record. You could tell more or if it's speeding up. And even that, it was just an introduction to the metronome. I didn't really use it after that. All the albums I made up until not long ago were done without metronomes.
Right.
You know, Mob Rules, Holy Diving. We didn't use click tracks. We didn't use any of that stuff.
Well, you didn't have to because the band was in the studio. I mean, if you're flying Pro Tools, everybody's got to be on the meter and all that. And that's great that a producer didn't push you to use one. You must really trust your time and you have a good clock.
Oh, yeah. Well, I play with Black Sabbath.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Play with Black Sabbath, you learn to play in the pocket with Tony.
A band that relies heavily on that solid groove.
Tony Iommi lays it down.
Are you still in touch with Geezer and Tony?
Tony, yeah. Tony and Geez, you know, mm-hmm. emails here and there once in a while. Yeah, everybody's doing and stuff.
Well, congratulations to Viv going in with Def Leppard, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was saying to myself before we spoke tonight, I said, I wonder, and I'm going to ask you this, you think Viv might even mention a deal that would be so great at the induction ceremony speeches?
Good question.
I just think that would be so cool if he acknowledged Ronnie James Dio up there at the podium. And have you been invited? Are you going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Awards?
No, I'm in California.
Okay.
He's there. We just finished four shows, so he flew from Detroit, and he flew from Detroit to New York. Tomorrow they're going to be on Good Morning America and doing an interview and stuff.
You know, I follow Def Leppard on Twitter, and there are a lot of bands going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You want to look good. You want to have a nice suit or whatever. Def Leppard, they have wardrobe cases of suit jackets, of shirts, jewelry, silver jewelry, all laid out on a table with wardrobe people, and they're trying on their suits. I'm like, this is great. Well deserved.
Yeah, they're cool, you know, and they deserve it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they didn't get voted in, that would have been ridiculous.
Well, I'm glad they got in because there's been many, and we could go on and on about bands that were snubbed and overlooked.
I don't know why they call it Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when people in that are in rock and roll that deserve to be in there. It took them a while.
Yeah, your brother said that best. He's like, it should be Hall of Fame, not Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was bending my ear about that one, Carmine.
Well, it's true, you know, like... Mm-hmm. Def Leppard, look how many albums they sold and hits. And
it's
been around so long. It took them this long to get in there. And Black Sabbath, it took them forever.
Yeah.
Kind of like, and then there's people in there that are not really rock and roll.
Jackie Bam Bam, we're speaking to the great drummer, Vinny Appice, from Dio, from Black Sabbath, and now from The Last in Line. And Vinny, speaking of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's going to come a time when Ronnie James Dio is going to get inducted, and you'll be up there. I definitely see that coming. Hey, since we're on the topic of Viv right here, he left, was it true, due to profits? He didn't get along with Ronnie James Dio's wife, Wendy? And are those two still in touch?
No, he doesn't talk to Wendy. Yeah, that's true, mm-hmm. you know, because the band in the beginning was promised a lot of things, you know. Mm-hmm. We went out and Ronnie put a lot of money into the band, but he had a big record deal. We worked cheap on the first tour in lieu of promise that, you know, as things get better, we'll share in the band. And that really never materialized. After a while, you know, it came up.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, things started getting darker.
Yeah, a little weird. Money, the root of all evil. And that was, 85, Sacred Heart Tour?
Yeah, even 84, 85. So, you know, we promised things that we never got. So that wasn't cool. And, you know, the stupid thing is it's short-sightedness. Because when you have something that's successful, that works, you know, with bands, there's a magic between a certain combination of people.
Yeah, it's all about the chemistry. Some bands just definitely gel and it works.
Zeppelin, that works. You know, you replace somebody in the band, it's not quite the same.
Right.
And so you got that going. Why would you want to f*** it up, you know?
Right.
So it's like, let's keep this going, man. Let's keep everybody happy and great music. This way you just concentrate on the music rather than, where's that money you promised me? And
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. And Last in Line, we just share everything 25% each.
That's great. And then Goldie came in and replaced Viv, right? You know, just really changed, the chemistry of the band and all that. But Viv still stayed in touch with you guys, or maybe just you?
I didn't really keep in touch that much with Viv after that. You know, it was working with Ronnie and busy all the time. And yeah, we really didn't keep in touch that much. And then Viv did a number of things after that with Whitesnake and Thin Lizzy, and then he did a blues thing. And one night I went down to see him play with his blues thing. It was really cool. You know, it was great to see him. I never had any issues with Viv. You know, I love Viv. It's so cool. Such a great guy. And now to be reunited with him is just amazing. You know, so great to have him back in my life, especially playing together. You know, he's just one monster guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
So I mentioned Craig Goldie there. It gets a little confusing with listeners and fans between your band Last in Line and Dio's Disciples. So if somebody asks you, what is the difference between Craig Goldie and Dio's Disciples and your band Last in Line?
Well, in a nutshell, they play all the songs. They know the songs. We know all the notes.
I like that.
Yeah, that's in a nutshell. We wrote those songs with Ronnie. As much as Ronnie got credit on certain songs as sole writer, he didn't write those songs by himself. you know. And if you think about it, how did the song We Rock come up? Ronnie can't play guitar like that.
Right, you guys. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
you guys.
It was more of a political thing with, okay, I'm taking how many songs by myself, no matter who wrote them. And that's the politics of the business, you know. And when we started the band, it was just Ronnie and I. There was no guitar player. There was nobody else. We were just starting. And we were playing Holy Diver.
Yeah.
We were just playing parts of it, you know, and some of the accents and ideas came from me, too, you know. So yeah. He was on bass, I was on drums, and I said, well, why don't we do some action? Down, you know, hang it here. That song wasn't entirely Ronnie either, but, you know, that's the way it works.
Yeah, you guys were the band that wrote the song, and those guys, I guess we could say, are a tribute band.
We wrote the songs. We created the
right.
band. We wrote Rainbow in the Dark. We wrote all those songs together. We wrote everything.
Yeah.
Together. Then the Dio Disciples were, Craig joined Ronnie after Viv left. He's the only one that really came in early. Then later on, I left and Simon played with Ronnie. The rest of the guys, I don't think any of them really played with Ronnie except Scott Warren, the keyboardist, you know.
So it's like a tribute band.
They're a tribute band.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I could hear songs they play or other bands play, and it's great, but... You know, it doesn't sound like me and Viv playing it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're the ones that recorded it and played it, created the song. So there's always a difference.
Will you guys be doing any gigs with Def Leppard in the future? Any festivals or anything?
We're doing a festival in June in London called the Download Festival.
Yeah.
We're on one stage during the day, and then Viv and Def Leppard are headlining that night. So he's doing two gigs.
Double duty, Viv.
Double duty.
Also today, I was reading in the paper. I want to talk about Holograms real quick. They Buddy Holly, Roy Orbison, Frank Zappa. What are your thoughts on the Dio Hologram?
You know, I've never seen it in person, so I really can't say what it looks like. But just seen it on, like, the phone and things like that. And it's a hard thing to create, especially in a club. You know, and they're playing smaller places because there's a screen and you can't move in front of the screen or behind the screen. You know, the screen that projects the hologram takes up space.
Yeah.
So that's kind of strange, you know.
It's kind of creepy to me. It's weird.
yeah. It's, but I haven't seen it, and so I really don't know what it looks like in person.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the great legendary drummer Vinny Appice from Black Sabbath, Ronnie James Dio, and Last in Line. Keeping the Dio legacy alive, they have a Ride for Ronnie where you donate, you support the Dio Cancer Fund, and it's coming up on May 5th out there in your hometown of California. Will you be involved with that, Vinny?
I go to a couple of those when I can, and I won't be there. We'll be on the road Last in Line. I'll miss it this year. Whenever I can, I go, you know, support that, and keep it alive as much as I can.
That's great.
Yeah, but not this year.
Vinny, let's go way back. You were just 16 years old. You were a teenager. First gig with one of the Mop Tops. Can you tell us about it? You played with what Beatle?
John Lennon.
Yes, you did. You were doing time at the record plant in a big horn piece band, and the great producer, Jimmy Iovine, was directing you guys, I guess managing you. He worked there. You were upstairs, and he made the phone call one day. He said, come downstairs. I guess it wasn't during the day. It was nighttime. And there's John Lennon standing there in the control room. And you're looking through the glass like, oh, my God, there's John Lennon.
Right. Yeah. We used to rehearse upstairs at the record plant because Jimmy Iovine brought us in and produced us. And the owner of the record plant, Roy Sakala, he really dug the band. It was a great band. It was really tight. So he brought us in. And then so we used to rehearse there every night. And one night Jimmy called, said, can you guys come down and do hand claps? So we went down the studio and there was John. We did hand claps on Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
So that's your hand claps on John Lennon's Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
That's my band on that.
So where did it go from there with John Lennon?
We went back to the room. A couple days later, we rehearsed. John walks in our room, starts hanging out, listening to us. Really liked the band. Liked us. He hung out with us a lot. Used to come up all the time, and there was a pool room next door. We'd go play pool with him. I think he dug it because we never really acted like fans. Like, hey, can I take a picture?
Yeah.
Can you sign this? We just let him hang out. He liked our music, and we smoked some joints with him, and all sorts of stuff. So we got to be friends with him, and then he asked us to do a video, a couple videos. We We did three videos with him at the record plant. And he produced the owner's wife, was a singer. We did eight songs with him as a producer.
Oh.
Yeah. So you got to imagine you're on the drum kit. And he's talking to you on the headphones.
There goes your meter, right?
So that's a cool thing. So, and then he asked us to do a gig with him. He had a gig at the New York Hilton. It was a live TV special, mm-hmm. Black Tie Affair. We did that with him also. And that's, you can see that on YouTube. You can find it. That, I found out not long ago, was his last live appearance ever. I got to play his last live appearance. Who would have thought that?
So not only Ronnie James Dio's last performance you played with, you played with John Lennon on his last live performance also. Unbelievable. Wow.
Kid from Brooklyn who liked bologna sandwiches.
I'd say that kid did pretty damn good. So, Vinny, when you look this up with John Lennon under YouTube, it's under the band name BOMF. It's John Lennon and BOMF. Was that your band name, and what did that stand for?
Band of Mother... Fig Newtons.
Was that the name of the band?
Yeah.
And you were actually, I did look it up, you're wearing masks and jumpsuits, half red, half black. What was that about?
The reason for that was the show was a tribute to a guy called, an English guy called Sir Lou Grade. He was a big entertainment millionaire in England.
Uh-huh.
John thought he was Two-Faced. So in order to have some shock value, John wanted us to go on. Now, there's nine guys in the band plus John. He wanted us to go on with two faces just to make a point. So what we did was we went to get the faces made. They take a wax. You go to this place and they pour wax over your face and it's got to mold, you know, harden. And then they made a face out of rubber and they put it on the back of our heads with a skull cap. So we had two faces and no hair. And then we got fitted for jumpsuits. We wore these black shiny jumpsuits and John wore a red one.
Yeah.
Now, when we were doing this stuff, it was like, okay, tomorrow we're going to get the faces made. So we'll meet at the record plant. We did. We all got in a van, or two vans, including John, and went to do this stuff. And then next day, did the jumpsuits. We all got fitted for jumpsuits, and he came with us. So this was like a real cool thing.
Unbelievable, yeah. Man.
So we came out like that. People are in the audience with a tuxedo on. It was the mayor, Shirley MacLaine, and all these people. And we come out with two faces and these jumpsuits. What the hell's going on here?
That was, what did we say, 1975 here?
It's 1975.
You're 16 years old, and I read that...
I went to high school the next day.
You did go to high school, because I thought you're 16 years old, you're playing with John Lennon, you said, Mom, Dad, I'm not going to school. Now, Carmine, your brother, did graduate. You dropped out.
I dropped out because I was already doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd sit in the room, you know, in the next day or two, going, man, I was just, you know, I'd be drumming on the desk. And then the teacher's trying to teach, and she goes, wait a minute, who's that drumming? And she'd point to me and go, Vincent, stop that drumming. And I'd stand up and go, hey, excuse me, did anyone else in here play with one of the Beatles last night?
Oh,
then I left.
And Mom and Dad were totally supportive, right?
Yeah, they were supportive anyway, with both Carmine and I.
Mm-hmm.
And came to the gigs, and my father helped Carmine, you know, driving him to gigs and things like that.
Yeah.
They saw his success at that point. He was already on Ed Sullivan, and Fudge had gold albums, and Cactus, and so they saw that he was successful and making a good living, and it was easy for me to go, look, I want to play the drums like Carmine, so the school's not happening for me. They allowed me to quit, and I did, and then I just went full-time into playing and pursuing different things until I finally hooked up with Rick Derringer, you know, which was like the first real pro band.
What was your first tour with Derringer? Was that supporting Aerosmith or headlining with Rick and clubs?
We recorded the first album. Rick didn't want to immediately, you know, he wanted to get the band and whipped up into shape, you know.
Okay.
A bunch of young kids. And so we did a month-long club tour, and we just killed it. We might have did 2 months or something. And then we were ready. And then we got on Aerosmith Rocks tour. We did all that whole thing. And got to play arenas.
What a rock and roll education you're getting. So how old were you then?
That was like maybe 18. That was a cool thing. And then that band stayed together for about 2 years, you know.
And where did you go after Derringer?
Danny and I left.
Okay.
Danny Johnson, who's the guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
We had a band prior to Rick, with me, Danny, and his brother-in-law Jay on bass, power trio called Axis. Danny and I left because we felt we weren't, again, getting paid what we should. You know, we promised things, and then we thought, you know what, we're young, let's go pursue our own thing. So we did. We got a record deal. We did one album called It's a Circus World, and that was produced by Andy Johns.
Oh, legend Andy Johns.
Yeah, but we didn't have good managers, and there was no plan. So we just went out and did a bunch of clubs and toured a little bit. And then after that, we came back to L.A., and that's when I got a call from Sabbath, you know. Actually, yeah. I got a call from Ozzy's.
Oh, okay.
Before that, I got a call from Sharon Osbourne saying Ozzy's putting a new band together. They want to fly me to England and go meet Ozzy, see how it goes, see how we hang out together. And then I asked my brother, who knew Ozzy, I heard about crazy shit he's done, and I said, is he crazy? Should I do this? I mean, I don't know. Where's England? I never been in England. Yeah. So he said, yeah, he's f***ing crazy. Blah, blah, blah. So I turned it down.
Always got to listen to your older brother, Carmine.
Then about a month later, I get another call from Black Sabbath. Now, that's a good year,
I would say.
And then that was easy because I was in L.A. They were in L.A. So I went down and met Tony Iommi. And Tony had the Axis album in his hotel room.
Oh, that's great.
So he walked in. I was in the tour manager's room. And then Tony came down. He had the album. He goes, I like this. This is good. So they heard me play. So Tony already liked me. He just wanted, how do we get along? And we got along great, you know, because Tony's like me. We're kind of jokesters and like the, you know, screw around and stuff. Then I went down the next day. He said, well, come down to SIR. That's where we rehearse them. And, you know, let's see how it goes. And that's what I did. And that's when we played Neon Nights for the first time.
And you said that was the first song and the last song you ever did with the late, great Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, yeah. Met Ronnie that day, Geezer, Jeff Nichols. And then we had 4 days to rehearse. But they were so happy that they found a drummer that we played, like, maybe for an hour, and then they go, let's go to the pub.
Damn straight, gotta celebrate.
And they did that for 2.5 days, and then it was like they started to get nervous, like, oh, we run out of rehearsal time. Everybody was nervous on the first gig because it was a big, giant stadium in Hawaii. We were all nervous, including me. We managed to pull it off. They were really happy about that.
I want to talk a little bit about your brother, because if not, he'll kill me. You guys did the Sinister album, what, last year? And I thought that was so cool, kind of like your drum wars. And was the album supposed to be called Masterpiece, like Carmine to Peace? Or was that supposed to be a song on the album?
Our idea was we wanted to call it Mast, if you M-A-S-T, a piece, Masterpiece.
Gotcha.
The artwork of it is actually, I think, on the back cover or on the inside. It's like holding a masterpiece picture, and there's some creepy hands with long nails holding it from behind, and one of the nails went through the canvas. Kind of creepy, you know. The record company was German, SPV, and they didn't get it. And then when we thought about it, we thought, well, this works in English, but it might not work so much in other languages. So we changed it.
It's always confusing what you guys, and you have a third brother that calls it a peachy. Is that true?
No, he says a peach.
A peach.
A peach, yeah.
I know you're probably so sick of explaining this, but Carmine goes by Carmine Apiece because when he was Rod Stewart's drummer, Rod would always introduce him as Carmine Apiece on the drums.
Yeah, yeah. So Carmine changed it to Apiece, and I don't like that. I was just getting known with Derringer and doing stuff, and I was Vinny Appice. So I'm not going to change my name. So I stayed with Appice. Carmine used to say Appice. If you listen to a Vanilla Fudge album called Near the Beginning, it's a live album. Carmine does a solo on it. At the end of the solo, Tim Bogert, the bassist, said, Carmine Appice on the drums.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that proves where it came from. My other brother just says a peach.
And is he the oldest brother?
He's the older brother, yeah.
He's not a drummer, though.
No, thank goodness.
Mom and Dad could only take two, right?
Yeah, two was enough.
How does Mom and Dad pronounce it?
Appice.
Okay, so that's the correct way.
Yeah, that's the correct way.
Yeah, for now, until your brother calls in Carmine and says it totally different and says that's the right way.
That's what my father said.
Well, Vinny Appice, we want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to pretend to be our friend here at 93.3 WMMR.
I am your friend. You know that.
We will see our good friend Vinny. He's coming to Atlantic City this weekend, New Jersey, HorrorCon and Film Festival. Hang out with him. Yeah. He'll have all his CDs, pictures, maybe an autographed drumsticks, but he'll be waiting for you the 29th, 30th, 31st. You get all your details. Showboat Atlantic City at NewJerseyHorrorCon.com. And Vinny will be behind his drum kit at the Sellersville Theater with the great Last in Line, his band, and they'll be in town May the 18th. Get tickets for that show and details.
Yeah.
ST94.com. Vin, did we get it all in there?
Got it all in there, yeah. And then I'll be going to Europe and all over the place.
Vin, have a great tour. If you need me, you know where to find me. I'll be your drum tech. Take care.
Okay. How you doing? This is Vinny Appice from Black Sabbath, Dio, and Last in Line, and you're listening to Jackie Bam Bam, the only guy that wanted to grow a mustache, just like my brother Carmine, but I told him not to. You're listening to 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.